copy of the Lord's Word. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. As we continue to look at the heroes of faith, we're at verse 11 today. The passage, the chapter here, the section, starts with verse 8. As we look at Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and the descendants of Abraham, this whole section is kind of grouped together, kind of all set together in the history as the writer brings out the faith. There was a time in this nation when most of the people knew, and especially those in church knew, the story of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, and they knew the Old Testament, and they knew what happened and where the nation of Israel came from, and the Word of God. These people that are being written to, the title of the book is Hebrews. It's the epistle to the Hebrews, and the Hebrews are the Israelites, and it's those that spoke the Hebrew language. And they know this story well. As we look at these young ones on the pew this morning, back in that day, little ones that age were taught the Word of God. They were taught the Old Testament. It was the Word of God. It was the truth of God that was taught to them over and over from their mother's knee up. They were continually taught the Word of God, and so they knew this story. We have to look in a few details as we go along, because it's not as common to us. It's a sad statement upon this nation and upon the churches of this nation, that people do not know the Word of God. They do not know what God has done. I really think that there's a lesson in Scripture here. I don't think we'll get to it today. But the fact that there was a remembrance brought to mind, used by God Himself, to remind of His hand in past time, what He had done, how He had delivered, how He had shown His might, that caused Sarah to see and to remember and to realize that God is faithful, God is mighty, God is powerful. Because I know what God has done. I have seen the hand of God. I have seen Him in time past as He has been faithful, as He has provided. You talk to people today, and they know of no such thing. They think it's lady luck and mother nature and father time and all other such garbage. Things that don't even exist. Rather than knowing what God has told us of Himself, there's no such thing as luck. It is the providence of God. The hand of God. And God is due the glory for what He has done. The problem is, we as a nation, we as a people today, the world today does not know the Word of God. So they do not know the faithfulness of God, the sovereignty of God, the might of God. Let's stand together in reverence of God's Word, and we'll begin with verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11 through verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. May the Lord add his blessing to his word as we read and study this morning. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear God and Father, we thank you for all these that you've brought aside this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the place you have provided and prepared for us, that we may meet here out of the weather, and oh God, that we might sit down together, reason together, thus saith the Lord, that we may turn to your word and we may see what you have said. And oh God, that you might declare to us by the power of your Spirit your message. And oh God, you might by the power of your Spirit apply it to each and every heart here this day. Lord God, we need you. With man, this is impossible. But with you, oh God, all things are possible. As we have sung this morning, oh God, it is our prayer, come thou fount of every blessing. Come and bless us. Come into our presence, oh God. Anoint the word that is brought forth. May it be your message. Oh God, anoint the ears to hear, that we may receive the word of God as seed. And oh God, if it please you, engraft it into our hearts. Bring forth fruit for your glory. Lord God, if there be those here this day who have hardened hearts and they've never heard the word of God and they've never trusted in Jesus Christ, they've never fallen in repentance before you of their sin. Oh God, if this be the day, if this be the hour that please you, oh God, give life where there has never been. Break that heart. Bring salvation. Bring a new birth. Create a new being to love and serve and please you where there only has ever been an enemy of yours. Lord God, bless the word. Bless our time together, all for your glory. Oh, dear God, lift up and exalt our Savior. For it is Him, through Him, that we have access unto you, that we bring our prayers. And it's for His glory we ask. Amen. Please be seated. Their ages. An important part of this lesson is the age of Abraham and Sarah. We don't think it a very unusual thing when a young couple has a child. We fail because we are told of God that children are a gift from the Lord. We take it for granted. We think it's modern medicine and the doctors and the hospitals and all of their prescriptions that call bring these things about, but it's not. It is the handiwork of God. But when we look to the age of Abraham and Sarah, it takes away the questions. It causes us to see and to focus on the power of God. In Genesis chapter 12, we read, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. When Abraham first comes on the scene, when we first see in the Word of God Abraham introduced to us, and we first start to focus on Abraham as a servant of the Lord, he's 75 years of age. That's older than everybody here but two. Yeah, Howard looks like he's over 75, but he's not. He's just now called to go out. A little bit younger than my parents back then. They're not really ready and anxious to jump up and move anywhere and go live in tents. People my age and Gary's age, we're not either, are we, Gary? We talked about going down to every tribe and with the mission work down there, maybe going down and visiting them and doing some mission work and staying in tents. And somebody said, "75 years old, and the Lord has just called him out. 75. God has called him out and given him a promise. God has told him he's going to make of him a great nation. That takes something. He has none. He's already 75 years old. He's 75. Sarah is 65. There's a 10-year age difference between the two. In Genesis chapter 16, we find that Abraham was 86 years old. Dwayne, that's 84. 84 years old when he has a son by Hagar. His son is Ishmael. Eighty-six-year-old Sarah is now 76. They still don't have a child. Genesis chapter 17, we read it, when Abram, was 90 years old and nine. He's now 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, "I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect." 99. 99 years old and he's about to have the son of promise. Verse 17 of Genesis chapter 17, we read, "Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear a child?" You know, it's an amazing thing for a 100-year-old man to father a child, but it's much more amazing for a 90-year-old woman to bring a child to full term and deliver. 90 years old. Sarai, she's mentioned in 13 different verses in the scripture. Most of them she is just mentioned in commentary. Sarai. I'm not real good at pronouncing Hebrew, but that was her name before God changed it to Sarah. Thank the Lord he changed it to Sarah. It's a whole lot easier for me to say. We see of Sarah, who is mentioned here in verse 11, and as our text for the day, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. What do we know of Sarah before we receive this message today? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 16. Hold your place in Hebrews 11. And turn back to Genesis chapter 16, and let's see what we know of Sarah. Genesis chapter 16, and we will begin with verse 1. And I hope it won't be offensive to anybody. I'm just going to call her Sarah every time. "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah, and Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her handmaid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Now look up. Here's the situation. She's old and getting older. She said, we're supposed to have a child, but we don't. Abraham, you take my maid Hagar to be a wife to you two, and you go in and you have a child with her so that I may have a child through her. Hagar has a child, and now Sarah is despised in the handmaid's eyes. The handmaid looks at Sarah and goes, you a woman, you don't have a baby. I have a baby. She despises her mistress. She despises Sarah. And note what Sarah does in verse 5. Sarah said to Abram, my wrong be upon thee. You husbands know what that means. She did it. She's blaming him. My wife is giving me a look. I'm going to be in trouble again. My wrong be upon thee. She says further, the Lord judge between me and thee. Abraham says, well, you take her and you do. She said, the woman's harassing me, the woman's giving me a hard time, and she's despising me, and she's giving me these looks, and you're not taking my side, Abraham. That's not right. You're supposed to be taking my side. The blame is on you. My wrong be upon thee. He says, you take with her and do with her as pleases you. Verse 6 says, Sarah dealt hardly with her. Let me ask you a question. Does this sound like the actions of a godly woman? God has promised to give them a child to make a great nation of them. What does she do? She connived. She came up with an alternative plan. She schemed and said, we'll find another way around this. Well, apparently I can't have a child, so you take Hagar, my handmaid, and you go have a child with Hagar. Blew up in her face. Now there's enmity between her and Hagar. And so now she's fussing at her husband. And so her husband says, well, you take and do with her as it pleases you. And she dealt harshly with her. She's rude to her. She's mean to her. Is this a godly woman? Does this sound like the actions of a Christian woman? Do you see any signs of faith? Yes, she has followed Abraham for 11 years and done as Abraham has asked. Was she faithful? Did she have faith in God? Or was she just being an obedient wife? There's another place we see the involvement of Sarah. God changes her name to Sarah in Genesis 17:15. It's now been about 13 years since the Hagar situation. Now Ishmael is born. He's about 13 years old. Now Sarah is 90. We pick up in chapter 18 of Genesis and verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Abraham is who he's talking about. The Lord and two angels. He sat in the tent of the door in the heat of the day, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Now we know this is actually and truly the Lord, because what did Abraham just do? He bowed down and worshipped this man. Abraham can't bow down and worship any man but God. If this were an angel, remember what the angel told John in Revelation when he tried to bow down before the angel? He said, see thou do it not. Get up. I'm a servant of the Lord too. Don't worship me. All worship belongs to God and nowhere else. So we know that this is the Lord. It's the Lord and two angels. And so Abraham bows down before the Lord and says, if I have found sight, favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. He's getting to come to the house. Come to the tent. Remember, he lives in a tent. We looked at that last week. Come and let me fix you something to eat. Let me give you something to eat. So he presses in and gets him to stay. And look down to verse 8. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under a tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And said, He said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. The men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Look up. It looks to me like a change just took place. Did you see a change? Did you see something in the situation? As you look back through Scripture, we find commentary on Sarah all the way through. Now we find an active Sarah. The Lord and the two angels coming on the way going to Sodom, and they stop by and stay with Abram. And Abram fixes them food and brings it out. And notice the words of the Lord as they're eating under the tree. Where is Sarah, thy wife? He's just brought Sarah into the conversation. He's just brought Sarah onto the scene. She's now part of what we're seeing, what we're talking about. Sarah is now an active participant. This is not just commentary about her. Where is Sarah, thy wife? He says, she's in the tent. The Lord says, I will certainly return to thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. She's actively in the scene. She has now heard the words of the Lord. She's heard the words of God saying, Sarah's going to have a child a year from now. She's 90. In a year from now, she's going to have a child. She's heard the words of the Lord herself. What does she do? He gives a commentary, says, they were old and well stricken in age. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. There's no way for her to physically be able to have a child now at her age. Therefore, verse 12 says, Sarah laughed within herself. Not audibly. She didn't laugh audibly. She laughed within herself. And she says to herself, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord also being old, Abraham is old too. Can we have a child at this age? The Lord said unto Abram, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? This is all done close enough to Sarah that Sarah hears the conversation. She hears the Lord make the promise. She laughs within herself. And God says to Abraham, Why did she laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Verse 14. At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied. Who did she deny to? She denied to the Lord. She denied to. She heard them. She hears the Lord say, Why did Sarah laugh? And then she says, No. She's now speaking to the group. The two angels, the Lord and Abraham. I didn't laugh. She was afraid because she had laughed at what God had said. And what did God do? God said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. Is there a point? What's going on here? Who heard her laugh? Nobody. She laughed internally. She laughed within herself. God knows the heart. She heard God make the promise. She laughed. And God said, Why'd she laugh? She's thinking to herself, I didn't laugh. And then she says, no, I didn't laugh. He restates the promise. She says, no, I didn't laugh. God says, well, yes, you did. He has just proven to her that He is God. He knows what's going on with inside of her. He knows the thoughts and the intents of her heart. God knows all things. We go out and knock on doors and ask people, are you going to heaven? Well, yeah. Well, why are you going to heaven? Well, I've never robbed anybody. I've never stolen anything. I've never killed anybody. You see, people think it's all about the actions and the activities that they do and that can be seen. We will go to hell as descendants of Adam for our thoughts. Amen. Every vile, wicked, sinful thought. Jesus said for a man to look on a woman and lust after her in his heart has committed adultery already. If you hate your brother, you've committed murder already. The thoughts and intents of the heart, the Lord sees them and the Lord knows them and the Lord judges them. And so every single one of us deserves to go to hell. Every single descendant of Adam deserves to go to hell. For our sin. For our faults. You don't have to go out and murder anybody. You don't have to rob anybody. We all deserve the penalty, the wrath of God, the judgment of hell. God knows. And God shows Sarah. God reveals to Sarah, I know your heart. I know what you did inside of yourself. Three things I want to focus on this morning. Three points I want to see. We are not born with saving faith. Secondly, when faith is given to us, we are changed. And thirdly, following the faith of another is not enough. We are not born with saving faith. We see the actions of Sarah without faith. We see her doubting what God has said in His promise, and so she sends Hagar into her husband to have a child because she doesn't count God faithful. She doesn't believe God's going to do this. She doesn't have the faith that God is going to do what He has promised to do. So she connives and comes up with another plan. She comes up with another way around. Not satisfied to wait upon the Lord. We see her without faith. We see her actions. We see her attitude. Then, by the grace of God, we see Sarah after she has received saving faith. We are not born with saving faith. There is not a one of us here who, if we continue as we were born, could be a child of God. We are enemies of God. We are sins. We are alienated in our minds. And we deserve to go to hell, and we will go to hell because of the sin of Adam and because of our own sin. Unless God is pleased to do something for us before we die. And it's called the gift of faith. Paul records it in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. There is nobody here, there is no man ever who can conjure up within himself saving faith. It's not of yourselves. If we could conjure up saving faith, or if we had it within ourselves, we would have a... We could pat ourselves on the back. We could talk about the good thing that we have done. But we can't. It's not of yourselves. He continues in the verse, it is the gift of God. Then in case you didn't understand that portion of the verse, he says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. God does not allow boasting. God does not allow pride. All glory belongs to God. Then he says in verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. every true child of God walks in faith because of the work of Jesus Christ, given to them by the grace of God. I shared with you, maybe a little thing on her desk that I liked. It's kind of a little calendar thing, and it said, "Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Criminal goes to court, and he deserves to be put in prison. If he gets sent to prison, that's justice. He gets what he deserves. He asks sometimes for mercy from the court. Mercy, Your Honor, I'm asking for mercy. And mercy means he doesn't get what he deserves. So even though he deserves to go to jail, he doesn't go to jail. But what is grace? Grace is another step further. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, meaning you don't go to hell. But grace is getting something you didn't deserve. Picture the situation. Dwayne's now 18 years of age, 18 years old, something like that, I think it's ASAP. And he's driving that Ford truck, and because Ford trucks are so good, he goes too fast, and he's doing 75 miles an hour down 460. And he gets pulled over, he goes to court, and the judge says, "How do you plead?" "Can you show me my..." That's grace. Not only did you not get the justice you deserved, you got mercy in not receiving that justice, but then you got something you didn't deserve. You got this wonderful gift. You were taken into the judge's house, and you were made a son to the judge, and he gave you all the things you needed, including the truck. That's grace. We, as enemies of God, deserve to go to hell, and that would be justice, and that would be just, and God would be right and proper sending every single one of us to hell at this very moment. But God, in His mercy, has said that those who are the children of God will not go to hell. But God goes beyond mercy and says, "I have something better than mercy. I have grace for you." Not only do you not go to hell, not only do you not get the justice you deserve, you come into my house, and you be my child, and you will be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You'll be a child of God forever. That's grace. That's what God gives to us as guilty sinners through Jesus Christ in salvation. We're not born with saving faith. It is, as we saw in Ephesians 2, a gift of God. God in His grace gives saving faith to the children of God that we might hear the Word of God and believe the Word of God and fear God and fall in repentance before God. One of the first works of the Holy Spirit in salvation is faith. Faith to believe the Word of God. Praise God that He does not hold our lack of faith against us. Some people believe that those who go to hell because they rejected Jesus Christ. Picture with me, if you would. It was already mentioned this morning that a nurse down in Dallas has now contracted the Ebola, and she's been confirmed. She has Ebola. She already has the disease. She's already sick. She already has the symptoms. We have medication in the United States that's supposed to take care of this. So picture with me, if you would, this nurse in the hospital, and the doctor comes in and says, "Here's the medicine to cure the Ebola." And she says, "No, thank you. I don't want the medicine." The medicine's not what killed her. Rejecting the medicine's not what killed her. The Ebola, it would be what killed her. Do you see that? Does it make sense? You see, you and I, by birth, are diseased already. When Adam sinned in the garden, he put a disease of death upon every single one of us. We were born dead in trespasses and sin. We were born guilty. We already had spiritual Ebola, if you will. We already had the disease. When the gospel is declared to you, when Jesus Christ is offered you, that is the cure for the disease. Rejecting the cure, you will go to hell. Without Jesus Christ, all will go to hell. But you go to hell for the sin of Adam and for your own sin, not for the rejection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the good news. Jesus Christ is the cure. Jesus Christ is the gift that God sent to die upon the cross of Calvary and to pour out His blood to pay for sin. Do you have the cure? You have the disease. Do you have the cure? We all, at one point, did not have saving faith. We're born without saving faith. Praise God, He doesn't hold that against us as the children of God. We can be saved even though we didn't have faith, because He gives us faith in Jesus Christ. He gives us saving faith to trust in Him. Jesus Christ has paid all the sins of all those that trust in Him. The grace of God. When faith is given to us, we are changed. We are changed. God records the change in Sarah for us. We saw Sarah conniving with Hagar, jealousy and spite and abuse, even the doubting of God and denying the doubt of God. She laughed. And then when God said, "Why did you laugh?" She didn't, "Oh, I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh." Lying comes naturally to us as the descendants of Adam. But God shows us that Sarah was changed. As He records in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She now believed the promise of God. God promised, and I believe it. We have evidence. We have the testimony of God that Sarah is now a believer. You see, God didn't hold her past unfaithfulness. God didn't hold her past doubt, her past lack of faith against her when she has a new birth in Jesus Christ. All those sins are done away. All those things are changed. She now has saving faith, and now she is changed. Now she's a different woman. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Maybe you've made a profession of faith. Maybe you say you now have saving faith. Maybe you say now you're a child of God. Have things changed? Have all things changed? The Scripture tells us that in our natural state as the descendants of Adam, we do things for one reason, but as a child of God, we will do all things for a different reason. We will do all things because of faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin, Scripture tells us. So whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of the Lord. We do all things by faith, and we do all things for the purpose of the glory of the Lord. Do you live your life? Do you do the things you do to get ahead? To prop yourself up? To make yourself look better than somebody else? That's not faith. Faith is trusting in the Lord that the Lord is going to provide for me whatever there is. And when God gives us saving faith, He changes us. We now have a different purpose. Now we have a different reason for all that we do. Do you? People say, "Well, I walked down the aisle and I made a decision. I chose Jesus Christ."
Well, are you changed? Well, yeah, you know, I've been doing this there for a while, and then I was excited about certain things about the scripture, and I read the Bible for a while, and I prayed a little more for a while. What about now?
Well, you know, other things happened. I got pushed in, and more important, and kind of pushed the things of God aside. And I don't do like I did when I first made my profession. So in other words, nothing changed. You tried to change for why you tried to be different. You tried to be what was good to be. You tried to be obedient. Sarah was obedient. She followed her husband. She did what he said to do. She went where he went.
But that's not saving faith.
Following the faith of another is not enough. God has told us of the faith of Abraham. God has shown us that Sarah had followed Abraham obediently. She's been following him now, living in tents, dwelling with him for years. But in this passage, God shows us that following a husband is not sufficient. A woman can be obedient to her husband and go to hell. Unless there is a personal relationship between you and God. Unless you live and walk and eat and drink, and whatsoever you do by faith, you will go to hell. It's not about following somebody else. It's not about being with somebody else and saying, it's not about being part of a church. Every true child of God wants to be a part of the church, wants to be a member in the church. But there's a whole lot of people who join the church who go to hell. Because going to church, joining the church, will not save you. You must have a saving relationship. You must have saving faith given to you by God and a one-on-one relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Following the faith of another is not enough. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. We just saw that verse a few weeks ago. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. All that you do, all that you try to do, no matter how good your intentions, no matter how sweet you are, no matter how nice you are, it's not pleasing to God. It's not acceptable before God without faith. For Sarah to be a child of God and to inherit the promises of God, she had to have her own saving faith. Following her husband would not save her. Being obedient to her husband could not save her. She had to have saving faith given to her by God. She had to be quickened herself by God. She had to have the blood of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness through His shed blood. She had to have her own relationship with God through Jesus Christ. All the promises to Abraham and all the faith of Abraham meant nothing for Sarah eternally. She had to have Jesus Christ. I'll remind you of a verse we looked at a few weeks ago, Ezekiel 14:14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. God brings out three examples of strong believers, strong faith, and says these three men can't save anybody else. No one can save you but Jesus Christ. Having a good pastor can't save you. Having a good spouse can't save you. Having a good Christian family member can't save you. You must go to God through Jesus Christ. You must have saving faith yourself. We're not born with saving faith. None of us have saving faith by birth. It is a gift of God. So unless something has happened, unless you've had a new birth, unless you have been changed, you're not going to heaven. It doesn't matter who your family is, who your spouse is, what church you have your name on the rolls with. It doesn't matter where you were baptized or anything else. It doesn't matter that you're an American.
You were not born with saving faith. And unless God has been pleased to give you saving faith through the new birth, you're going to hell. Do you have saving faith? Well, when you receive saving faith, you are changed. Are you changed? Are you different? What do you count as different? We give Dwayne a hard time. We've been picking on Dwayne since he was about yay big. A year or so ago. Dwayne has changed. Dwayne has matured. Dwayne has grown up. Dwayne acts better. Dwayne does things better. Dwayne's a little smarter. He doesn't open his mouth all the time and get himself in trouble in a second. Sometimes he waits a minute. But that's not salvation. That's not the change we speak of. The change of salvation. What changes when we are born again? What changes when we have saving faith given to us by God? Are the things that the Scripture talks about. It begins with faith in God. It's very quickly followed up by repentance before God. All things have passed away, all things have become new. Your whole purpose and motivation in everything that you do is changed. It's now done for the glory of God. So I'm not talking about, are you a little older? It's very easy for people to say, yeah, you know, I made this profession back 20 years ago, and I've changed. I'm older, I'm more mature now, I do things better now. That's not what we're talking about. Do you have the change in your life that the Holy Spirit brings about? We talked about this from 1 John, it's clearly brought out. People, all kinds of people say, I love God, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. How do you measure that? You can't measure your love for the Lord. People say you haven't gone good. But God gives us in 1 John a way to measure. He says we know how much we love the Lord by how much we love the brethren, how much we love believers, how much we love other Christians. He says we know we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. Nobody loves Christians. Jesus said they don't, they can't, they won't. If you were in the world would love you, but I called you out of the world. He's called us out from the world, and he makes us to be like him. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And he's already at work in every Christian, conforming us to that image, changing us already, so we don't act like the world. Now, we don't walk like the world. Now, we don't think like the world. Now, and the world will hate you for it. And so did all of us. We hated Christians until we were born again. There's a change. Do you love the things God loves? Do you hate the things that God hates? Have you been changed? When faith is given to us, we are changed. Following the faith of another is not sufficient. Oh, I must warn you. The faith of another cannot save you. Do you ever stop to consider why did God record this in His Word? Basically, everything God says there in Genesis chapter 18, He had said before. Why does He record this passage? When they leave Abraham and Sarah, the two angels go down to Sodom, stay the night, take Lot and his wife and two daughters out the next day and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Why did God pause to give us this in chapter 18? Except He brings to the forefront, He brings to the picture Sarah. Sarah, who had been a faithful, obedient wife. Sarah, who had followed her husband around faithfully as her husband followed the promises of God. But Sarah, who did not have saving faith yet. Sarah, who did not trust the Lord yet. Sarah, who laughed at the promise of God. But God said, is anything impossible with God? And I really and truly think Sarah looked back at the things that God had done for them as they're wandering around in the wilderness, and the words of God spoke to her, and the Holy Spirit of God worked in her, caused her to hear. And forth from her comes the fruit of faith.
God has now given her so. Now she. And now we have the testimony of God in Hebrews chapter 11 that she did have saving faith. Did Sarah's faith give her a son? No. There are preachers in the world today. I'm going to call them preachers just for a second because they're not preachers, they're heretics. They lie about the Word of God. They will tell you that it was the strength of Sarah's faith that gave her that child. And they will tell you, if you have faith, you will be rich and you will be famous and everything will go wonderfully for you in this life. And let me tell you something. Either they're lying or God's a liar. Because that is contrary to God's Word. Jesus said, in this world, you will suffer as a Christian. You will have trials and tribulations. You look at Paul and the trials and tribulations he had. He was shipwrecked. He was supposed to die there. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails, 39 stripes, multiple times. He was stoned and left for dead. Is that prosperity? Must have been something wrong with faith. I think not. There's something wrong with their preaching. It was not the faith of Sarah that brought the baby. It's not the faith of Sarah that gives her a child at 90 years of age. It's God. God did it. God promised it, and God is faithful, and God did it. She believed God, but God did the work. Genesis chapter 21. The Lord visited Sarah, and he said, as he had said, excuse me, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. God visited Sarah, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he said he was going to do. And he did it when he said he was going to do it. He said a year from now is when it's going to transpire, and it did. It's not Sarah's faith that gave her the child. It's God. God promised it. God is faithful. God did it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, a verse we looked at just a little while back. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that's promised. It is God's work. It is God that gave them Isaac. It is God that gave them a child in their old age. Do you have saving faith? I'm not going to promise you saving faith is going to make you rich. Because if you have saving faith, there's a good chance you won't be rich. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. But you see, if you have saving faith, riches isn't the important thing. Riches is not what you're seeking after. Fame and fortune and everything going your way is not what you're searching for. We see in Hebrews chapter 11, just a few more verses down, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They had the promises of God. God was faithful, but they didn't receive the promises in this life because the promises of salvation are about eternity. The promises of salvation are about eternal things that will happen to us in the next life. There are those that believe that if you're a child of God, if you believe God, if you're saved, things have got to be going your way in this life. That is not so. That is not true. Do you have saving faith? Do you trust in the Lord? Wandering around in tents, living in the sand, struggling, suffering. That's all right. That doesn't matter. When you, by faith, are looking to the promises of God, when you're looking beyond Stephen as he's preaching and they're stoning him to death, he's not dodging the rocks. He, by faith, is looking. I see the gates of heaven open, and I see God upon his throne, and I see Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not trying to argue them out of throwing rocks.
He's not persuading them to be nice. Fellas, I'm a good guy. I'm one of y'all.
No. That's not his important thing. The important thing for the child of God are the things of eternity, the things of God, of heaven itself. Looking beyond the suffering, looking beyond the tribulation. Dwelling on the things of heaven now. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God is faithful. God has promised. Do you trust him? Are his promises greater to you than the treasures of the world? Remember when the promise of God wasn't important to Sarah, so she found another way. Hagar, hey, we can use Hagar. Hagar's younger. Hagar can have a child. The promises of God. Do you know them? Do you trust them? Are you trusting Jesus Christ for salvation? For eternal life? As a child of God, do you walk daily in faith? Do you study to know the promises of God? Do you count dear and precious the promises of God? Do you have a favorite promise? God's made us all kinds of promises. Is that where you're standing? Let's pray. Dear God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of Sarah. Lord, might you be pleased to protect this seed in our hearts, that we may meditate upon it in the days and weeks to come. Oh God, if it please you, might you call the lost into account this day. Do we have saving faith? Has there been a change? Do we serve you, O Lord? Oh God, to those who have not saving faith, if it please you in your grace, might you bestow upon them, might you visit them with a gift through the work of the Holy Spirit. Give them faith to believe in you, to fear you, O God, to bring a change in that life, to bring them to repentance before Jesus Christ, before it's too late. Give glory to yourself through all that was said. Lord God, use your word as you have promised to do, and as we know you will. Amen.